is Maytag Month, and Menards is passing the savings on to you. You need reliable and energy-efficient appliances to conquer the day. Menards is your one-stop shop with appliances in stock and ready to take home today. Check out our top appliance brands, including KitchenAid, Maytag, Whirlpool, Amana, and Criterion. Save big money on Maytag appliances at Menards. And check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for all the great deals happening now. Save big.
Welcome to part two of our conversation with Nick Graves about House of Ghosts. You know, the big questions, what's out there? That leads to what I would call the ghost family tree. And with every episode that I do on ghosts, whether it be on this show or the other podcast, Real Ghost Stories Online, we've done now thousands of episodes, and I've probably heard more than 100,000 stories over the course of doing this. Each episode, each show, each story in each show, I'd say probably in some way, shape, or form, extends that ghost family tree by at least a small twig, because there's always something new. There's always something that gets thrown in there, and you go, "Oh, I didn't think of it that way," and it makes you end up with far more questions than answers. What you thought was going to be, "Oh, this simple little tree, couple branches here, couple branches there, we can identify these things," but then it just gets so much more confusing. When you think about what is out there, what in your experiences, in your belief systems, 100% an opinion based question, what does that ghost family tree look like to you? I guess in the most condensed way of speaking about it, because obviously that can go in 50 different directions.
Oh my gosh. That tree looks pretty crazy. I'll tell you that.
Sure.
It's a big tree with a lot of branches. It's like those like X-rays that you see with like where they like line up like the branches of a tree with like the inside of like someone's lungs, like all those veins and stuff. They're just like
yeah.
It's just yeah. I don't know. Every time I ever go to a place, I leave honestly with more ideas, more theories, more beliefs, because every time you go to a place, you meet these new people and stuff like that, that, you know, run some of these locations and whatnot. And you hear their stories and you hear their beliefs. Mm-hmm. And some of them really hit home with you. And you usually always walk away with a little bit of something from these people. You might not believe everything that they're saying, but there's always at least something that you walk away with where you're like, you know, that kind of makes a little bit of sense to me.
Sure.
And, you know, that one question that you had turns into 10 more.
Yeah.
And it's just, I feel like you never really answer any of them either. Honestly, you just come up with more questions and you just kind of hope that chasing one of these questions at some point is going to lead you to a really big, profound answer.
And I think it's good what you're doing here initially, and your goal as of now being information, getting information, understanding as best you can, gaining experience more than anything of what's going on before jumping into the world of, hey, I'm going to show up and I'm going to help you rid your home of this or that. Because so many people jump into this world of paranormal investigation with no experience whatsoever, or just their own personal experiences, and suddenly think they're going to be able to eradicate something out of someone's home or help them. And quite often it makes the situation far worse. But when you can take the time to go, you know, look, and have the attitude of, I don't know. That is, I think that's the sign of a true professional when it comes to paranormal investigation. And I hate using the word professional, but I guess someone who is going to be handling it respectfully, maybe would be the right word to do it. No matter how many years of experience you have, the answer is usually, I don't know, but based on these experiences, here's what I would give you the feedback on. Here's what I would think may be happening based on some of these other things. So tell me about some of the areas that you have gone into. What stood out to you initially? What were some of the areas that you wanted to go to and you did in fact go to investigate and look into the world of ghosts on a deeper level as an adult?
One of the places that I went to, honestly, and that I would honestly highly recommend, is the Wilson Castle. That place is absolutely phenomenal. There's just so much energy there. And what's interesting about that place is, like some of the places you go to that are more notorious, you feel like kind of that heavy energy. And like, you know, that like, obviously there's something going on there just like by, you know, obviously all the stories and stuff like that. And then, you know, the evidence that you gather there yourself, but like more so like that, that feeling, like you always, you, where you can feel the change of walking from room to room, where the presence kind of changes a little bit.
And I want to hear what happened to you there. But before we get to that point, educate our audience a little bit on Wilson Castle. What's its story? What's its brief history?
The Wilson Castle history is very, very, I guess, almost mysterious. They don't really know a whole lot about its history, and they're constantly, constantly trying to do more and more digging there. The folks that own it, Denise and Andy there, they really have been working hard to try to get some of the history nailed down because it is just so vague. Their grandfather, or Denise's grandfather, acquired it and basically ran tours there and stuff like that for a while. And then when he passed, they took it on, and they didn't really know what to do with it. And then a paranormal society, the Glen Falls Paranormal Society, came in there and were like, hey, you know, like, let us check this place out and, you know, see if we can get any paranormal evidence. And they ended up getting like a ton of evidence from this place, and it just became a real huge interest for some of the enthusiasts. And we finally found out about it ourselves, and we went up there, and I can definitely confirm that it's a really, really active place, and it's really, really fun there. Honestly, the energy is like a really positive, like high energy. And if people are into like using spirit boxes and stuff like that, and you believe in that, then like they are very chatty there. Very, very chatty. They will definitely respond, and they'll talk to you. It's pretty amazing. That place is absolutely amazing.
What sort of experiences did you have in terms of communicating at the Wilson Castle?
Oh my goodness. some of them, some of like the spirits there can be a little bit more like on the negative side, say some like rude things and blah, blah, blah. But for the most part, the Colonel, actually their grandfather, he comes through a lot there and will talk to you. It's crazy. You will literally hear like boot steps and high heels and all sorts of stuff walking through this castle, like while you're literally laying there by yourself, in the dark and nobody else is around, you know, and like, you know, that there's nobody with boots and high heels and stuff walking through that place. And it's just like, they're still having a party in that place. It's just, it's crazy. You'll hear the pool balls clacking and stuff on the pool table. But yeah, they've cracked jokes and stuff when we were sitting there at the pool table, with a spirit box, with John Huntington and stuff like that. And they were just, I'm not going to say any of what they said because it was like really, really profane. Like, I'm not even going to lie to you, but it was just hilarious. I was cracking up laughing, and I've never been on an investigation like that ever, where, you know, the spirits are talking to you through the spirit box and like they're making you laugh. Like, that's just unheard of. That's remarkable. You know, and they're like responding to you, like to your questions, and you know, you crack a joke back, and then, you know, they crack a joke right back at you. And it's like, what is happening right now? Mm-hmm. It's like, is this even real? Nobody's even going to believe me. Like, yeah. I can post it up right now and no one's still going to believe me.
Well, it's so interesting, you know, with what the technology is these days, where it, you know, we're bordering into that territory of exactly what you just described, where it's almost one-on-one communication. It's not clear as day yet, but it's yeah. If you understand and kind of have an ear for it after having some experience, you can pick those things up pretty easily in real time. With all that being said, do you feel when you're doing that, when you're in an environment and you're communicating one-on-one with something on the other side that you truly don't know what it is, you're assuming this is who it says it is. Do you ever feel any danger when opening up those lines of communication in that sort of way, where it seems jovial and fun and great at first, but do you ever have any caution or reservation about things like that?
Oh, always. I'm always respectful in the sense that I will, I guess, communicate with them in the sense that they are, but I always have that in the back of my mind, like it could maybe not be. And I won't leave that trust completely open. And I always communicate to that, you know, you're not welcome to attach or come home or like any of that. Mm-hmm. You know, I would try to take those extra precautions and stuff like that. But I mean, who knows how well that even really, really works. But in theory, it's supposed to.
I wonder about that, too. I mean, I think a lot of it comes down to like your belief system and how, you know, what you're attributing it to.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. And then also sometimes, too, I feel like when you're talking to something and it seems like you almost feel like that negativity, like obviously you should definitely not be in like a trusting situation with whatever you're talking to, because like you're obviously feeling like that negativity. And that's kind of, I think, what also sets the Wilson Castle apart, is almost like that. I don't know, that like sense of like security. Obviously, there are places in the castle where you go, where you do feel like kind of uneasy, where there's kind of more negative energies, but in like the main quarters where like Colonel Wilson and stuff like that used to have like his little parties and run his tours and stuff, and like the main part of the castle, mm-hmm. you feel that sense of like it's a party.
Yeah,
you know, like you feel really good there. I've been there twice and I've had the same experience both times. Just a really great experience, as long as you avoid certain aspects of the house, which I still go there and I try to run my little experiments up in, you know, those more negative areas and stuff, but I'm definitely a lot more on guard.
Sure. Well, and it's interesting, you know, when you hear about, you know, when you put things into perspective of a old building, a haunted house, a haunted structure, whatever it may be, you can have a very loving, happy home environment, and one person in that environment could have been struggling for many years while the rest flourished. And that could, you know, be attributed to whatever may be going on in their lives. It can be attributed to a mental illness. It can be attributed to many things. So in any average, you know, household today, you could go through that house and go, oh, this is real happy, warm, and nice. You get into somebody's room and it's like, this person seems to be a bit troubled. So it's easy, I think, when we look at it from the living aspect of things, it's easier than to understand a structure like that where, oh, it's all happy and jovial, but this corner over here feels really negative. Yeah, so could, you know, Bill's house down the street, and their teenage daughter is real angsty and in a shitty mood all the time. You know, there's all these different things that are just part of life that I think sometimes we forget, you know, well, they lived once too. So if those if the energy can remain, maybe that is where you kind of get places like that that for the most part feel good. But then you have those little corners, crevices that are not so hot. When you've been out there and investigating and digging outside of Wilson Castle, have you ever been in a situation where you felt that what you were communicating with wasn't so jovial, wasn't going to be cracking jokes back at you, but was more of a negative type spirit? And I'm not saying it has to be demonic or anything like that, but just more on the negative scale.
I would have to say probably this church that I just went to just feels really, really uneasy. I actually had like some scratching on my jacket a couple of times that I had heard with my own ears, and then actually was able to catch on camera with one of our shotgun mics that we had. And it was like really, really clearly audible, which was kind of strange. Especially considering that place felt like so ominous. And it kind of also, I feel like those types of things can be like brought in from like elsewhere, when all these people come in and like vandalize these places and, you know, start doing all these, you know, messed up things, spraying you know, 666 all over the walls and stuff like that. Like, I feel like they're bringing kind of their own negative energy into the place. And like, I wouldn't necessarily call that demons or anything like that. That's just negative energy, just a negative presence. But yeah, that place was definitely uncomfortable.
So
really mean, but uncomfortable.
This was a church that I'm assuming the way you're describing it was no longer active.
Oh no, absolutely not. Okay. Totally abandoned. It's like a wreck.
Okay. It makes you wonder about places like that with, you know, an active church versus one that is no longer active. And there's several of them, obviously, where you go in and it's defunct, it's decrepit. They were designed in many cases, depending on how old it is, with quite amazing ornate architecture and the work and the craftsmanship and the care that went into it and all of the life experiences that people had in there. I'm not saying negative things don't happen in churches. Obviously they do. And that's a sad, disturbing thing. But in, if we're talking about, you know, in mass, and I'm not saying like the mass, but in mass in terms of people, they were positive locations for many. And you had holidays there, you had Christmases, you had baptisms. Of course, you'd have funerals too, but it was a place where all different emotions in life were there, including fear, including sadness, though, too. But usually, if you're a member of a church for a long period of time, it's a place of respite, of hope, of happiness, of just kind of calm. It makes me wonder, is when you have a place like that that has that type of emotion attached to it, assuming most of it is very positive, and then something gets in there or someone gets in there and literally is bringing the exact opposite to it. You know, is it like fire and ice, you know, where just it's such an extreme difference in terms of attitude that it stirs that pot? It's like a chemical reaction where it's not like you're pouring hot water into cold water and it's like, okay, it's still water. It's like you're pouring two completely separate elements that will have a horrible reaction that will essentially blow up in your face when you have those two sort of things mix of somebody with ill, negative, dark intent into a place that really the best of the people there really had nothing but pure, true, good intent for it. And then the two mix, and then you get an active location that's unlike anything else.
Yeah, that was a really good way to put it. Yeah.
Long-winded, but yeah.
No, that was remarkable. That was a great way to put it. I can't put it any better than that. So
it makes me wonder about things like that, because you think of churches and you think, I usually think peaceful. I was fortunate. I didn't have any negative experiences there, except I was bored out of my mind when we went to church. But I wasn't a victim of anything or anything like that where I would have, you know, understandably, you know, a reason to not like to go there. But it's always seemed peaceful. But I could only imagine, you know, if things went to hell and what that those places would look like and then what you could be feeling there. Do you feel that a location like that is also going to almost be an attraction, if you will, or have, you know, kind of like the lights on, the doors are open to attracting more negative things than to it because of it being such a, you know, a yin and a yang of it was good and now it's evil type sense to it?
I don't know. I can't really answer that as far as like attracting it, but kind of like what you said is, you know, it's supposed to be supposedly like a place of sanctuary, and you know, maybe if like a spirit is trapped here or something like that, and they had strong ties to that church and felt it was a safe place and blah blah blah, you know, they would probably go there, and their spirit would maybe be lingering there, and then like you said, these people come and they bring this vile energy and they desecrate the place and they do all these awful things. And now they bring in this negative energy. And now this place that they went to kind of rest and have sanctity is now like a place of chaos. And like you said, now it's just, there's probably like an ongoing battle of, you know, them trying to either like hide or defend themselves from this negative presence, and possibly that negative presence could be feeding off of that and becoming stronger. Who knows?
When it comes to places like that, where there seems to be very strong negative energy, either that's been brought into them or really throughout their lifetime had a lot of negative energy in it, like a prison or something of that nature. Or, of course, we have all the asylums that have been abandoned over the years, and now what's remaining, is probably used for ghost investigations, because that's all that's been able to keep it alive. Or every once in a while you find a real classy restaurant in one and feel very uncomfortable eating at it. But when you have locations like that, and this is just purely an opinion question, do you feel structures like that? And I'm all about repurposing things. I think it's amazing. I think it's neat. I think it's really cool that some of these things have been saved from a wrecking ball for the purpose of paranormal investigation, or for creating multi-purpose buildings out of it and new uses. But can you ever truly wipe away or de-haunt the building? Essentially get rid of the energy that has been imprinted there for all of the years of its use. Are some of these structures like, look, yeah, you can create the bistro and the craft shop in there and the small, boutique hotel and spa, but at the end of the day, we can't guarantee that the person that's getting the massage with the hot stones isn't going to have 666 burned into their back. Because look, shit was not good here when it was operational. Are some structures just, look, either you're going to use it to investigate, or there is no practical purpose for them anymore. They've been too spiritually or energy wise damaged over their lifetime.
Seemingly so. It really, I guess, depends on the stain that's really left there. And also sometimes just has to do with the land, because they're even finding places that had no records of any buildings being there or anything like that. They're building these brand new homes and they're having these crazy paranormal experiences, and this is like a brand new home.
Sure.
And it doesn't really make any sense. So it really has a lot to do with the land and like you said, that the stain that can be left sometimes, seemingly, because they have torn down buildings and built up new ones and still have like those same paranormal experiences kick up in that new building. And like, I feel like sometimes it's like a, like on the sands of time, you could say it's just a dark stain that you can never really wipe clean, unless maybe possibly, the right intent goes into it. And I'd imagine it probably take a whole lot of intent
Some of these stains. If there's ever enough intent for some of those places, because some it's like, I don't know. I sometimes I think the scariest things can be the unseen with structures than the scene. You can have a building that looks to be in total decay, but you could get it fixed up just fine and really have little to no issue. And you can have some buildings sometimes that are not in disarray or decay, but what went on within those walls, that I think can sometimes be much scarier. If you can identify the history of what it was.
Yeah. And actually, speaking of haunted restaurants, I actually worked at one, and it was also a brand new building. It had just been built. I was the only pastry chef that would work overnights there. And I would have crazy things happen all the time. I would just see like shadows, like zoom across the server aisle, like out of the corner of my eye, the little doors that were like the swaying in and out doors that the servers would use would constantly start swaying. I would go out there and I would check the lobby and the dining room and stuff like that all the time, and just find nothing. A bunch of weird stuff would happen there all the time. And I actually had a friend of mine that worked there as well. During the days, I was like, come back at night while I'm working third shift and see if any of this stuff happens while you're there, and if you have any of these experiences too. And didn't really tell him like any of the things that I was experiencing, just that it was odd, just to kind of see. And he was like mortified. He was following me like a puppy dog. He's like, I keep seeing shadows and I keep hearing the doors and stuff. He's like, what's going on in here, man? I was like, see, dude, I told you it was kind of creepy. But yeah, brand new building. It had just been built. I was actually part of the first crew to start working in that place and get it up and running. And yeah, it was a really odd place.
How do you make peace with something like that, knowing that this is your job? You got to be in there overnights by yourself as a pastry chef, long hours to you and whatever else may be there. What kept you coming back? What made you say, okay, I can deal with this on an okay level?
My absolute love for cooking, the paychecks, and it just required a lot of asking it to please leave me alone. Just please, please don't sure. bother me. Let me finish making these cupcakes.
Sometimes it's all you have to say. Let me finish making these cupcakes, and it is done. That wraps up the second part of our conversation with Nick Graves about the House of Ghosts. Until next time, for The Grave Talks, I am Tony Bruschi. Thank you for listening, and thanks for your support of The Grave Talks.